Welcome back to the Finding Your Way podcast. This is The Beep, and I'm here to talk to you about all the good things in the stories. But first, I'd like to talk a little bit about our last episode. I just want to say thanks to Mike for coming on. We had a great conversation about music. I just think that we really just got to talk about some things and reminisce in the past. And you got to listen to a couple old friends just kind of hash it out. Also, thanks to Jay for lending him to me and allowing me to chat his ear off and kind of bring some good content to you. And while we're at it, hey, you should go listen to The Two Penny. I'll warn you, you know, this is not the same type of podcast as The Two Penny, you know. So, you know, I'll let you know, they can be a little naughty over there, but, you know, they are funny. And they do some stuff, and it's worth listening to most of the time. Okay, it's worth listening to all the time. Jay, if you're out there, I love you. Mike, if you're out there, I appreciate you. Love you too. Keb, if you're listening, I love you too. Keb's doing some stuff with the Unfiltered podcast. I know it's kind of in a weird kind of shutdown phase. He said he was going to reboot it, but he's still providing some content in the meantime. So go listen to the Unfiltered podcast. You can find all of this stuff over at UNF Studios at unfpod.com. Over there, you can find links to The Two Penny and all of the other podcasts that we like to listen to and people we call friends. And speaking of friends, St. Joe, I know you're out there listening, man. I hope you're doing well. Love you too, brother. So for tonight, I have an interesting story for you. I've been reading... And some of you don't click off right away because The Beeb is getting ready to read some of the Bible and maybe the Bible's not for you, but guess what? I think the story I'm getting ready to tell you is useful for just about anyone. It doesn't matter if you like the Bible or not. Just let me get to the end. Let me fill you with the goodness of the story, and then you can decide for yourself whether it was worth listening to. And I promise you, it's worth listening to. So thanks for hanging in there with me tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about this guy named Peter, and he was a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus had 12 disciples, but Peter was one of the most famous of all the disciples. In fact, the Catholic Church is actually built off of Peter, essentially. They consider him their founder, I think. Maybe I've got some friends who will correct me on that. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. But Peter was known as the proud one, the loud one, the one who would take care of business, the one who would step forward and do and be bold and go forth and say all the things and do all the things. But maybe that wasn't always his story. Maybe not. So we start today in Acts chapter 3. And this is, like I said, our focus will be on Peter. But Peter does something pretty cool for a guy. And we'll talk a little bit about the guy he did this for, why it was meaningful for that person, but also we're going to talk about what's going on with Peter. So here we go. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked to receive alms. Now, for those of you who are listening, we use the words alms. He's just begging for money, essentially, okay? So, don't get distracted by that. Anyway, so, back to the story. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for money. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now look, that's the end of the story. Well, it's not really the end of the story. But as far as, you know, Peter healing the guy and this guy being able to stand up and walk on his own, having never been able to do that, you know, ever in his life First of all, that's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing, right? But that's not the whole story. The question that I would like to ask is, why wasn't he able to go in the temple with his friends? Why couldn't they carry him in? Why was he on the outside begging? Most people don't understand that in this culture, going to temple with your friends, with your family, was basically central to the Jewish culture at the time. It's still central to the Jewish culture. They still go to church, to temple together, to synagogue together. They go and they worship the Lord together and they pray together, and it is a huge cultural thing. So to be able to do that would be everything to this guy. And he's been lame since birth, and he's never been able to do it. He's never been able to go in with his family and friends and worship with them, essentially. First of all, that would have been a huge, huge deal to this guy to be able to get up and go in to the temple and worship God with them and actually be in the place with all these people. It would have been a huge deal. And most people would probably focus on this when they're talking about this story, but I'd actually like to focus on Peter because his story actually started a lot earlier than this. See, Peter was a fisherman, right? And when he was first became a disciple, he was in a fishing boat and fished all night, and he was out of money and he was in debt, and he was about to probably lose all of his belongings to tax collectors. And he's out there fishing late at one night, he's out there fishing late and trying to catch fish to be able to sell to survive. Spends the whole night fishing, doesn't catch a thing. And he looks out, and after the night's over, and there's a guy standing on the shore and tells him, "Hey, cast that net on the other side of the boat." He's like, "We've been fishing all night, we're not going to do it." No. The guy tells him. The guy says, "No, go throw in the net on the other side of the boat. Trust me, just go do it. You got time, why not?" So Peter goes back out there and he throws the net on the other side of the boat. And he catches so many fish that it paid off all of his debts. And it freed him up to follow the man who told him to throw the net on the other side of his boat, who was Jesus, okay? Hey, it was Jesus. Big surprise, right? And this was the story of when Peter was called to be Jesus' disciple for the first time. And I tell you all that to say this. For the next 3 years, Peter is attached at the hip to Jesus. He's following Jesus around. If you're someone's disciple in this culture, you are constantly around them. You're constantly learning from them. This is a big deal. They become friends. They're like family. They're close, right? And then comes the big moment, right? What's the big moment in all of the Bible and most of religion, all of Christian religion, is when Jesus dies on the cross. But Peter's story in all this is not so great. In fact, it's a little bit disturbing, sad even. You know, he is this great disciple. He does all the things that Jesus asks him to do. He moves forward. Even at one point, Jesus says, "Hey man, Peter, I know you think everything's all well and good and all things are great, but I promise you one day you're going to deny me. I promise you one day you're going to say that you don't even know me. I promise you one day that it's going to come a time when you're going to pretend like you've never met me." And Peter says to Jesus, he says, No. That's not me. I won't ever do that. Not me, Lord. Never, 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 never. Not me. Not me. Well, the time comes and Jesus gets arrested. And here's Peter, like he's still being Peter, right? Well, at the moment Jesus gets arrested, he cuts a man's ear off at the moment Jesus is arrested. And then Jesus heals the man and says, "He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword." And Peter kind of goes silent, and off the soldiers go with Jesus. And at the time, they took Jesus into this courtyard, right? And they had to hold him in the courtyard overnight because they couldn't make a judgment on him until the next day. So Peter quietly followed behind them, kind of in the darkness, hiding, found his way into the courtyard, and sat amongst the people, waiting to see what was getting ready to happen to Jesus. And slowly the people kind of mill around because there's a lot going on. They know they have Jesus. They know something's going to happen to him. And they look up at Peter and they say, wait a second. I saw you with him. I saw you with Jesus, right? You know him. You're one of his followers, aren't you? And Peter's response, no, he says. No, I never knew him. I don't know him. I wasn't with him. I'm not the person you think that you're thinking of. That happens not once, but twice, not twice. Three times they ask him, and he denies ever knowing Jesus, his best friend. He denies knowing Jesus three times. And how the story goes is Jesus gets convicted of being a criminal, of being a heretic, of rabble-rousing, and he hangs on a cross and dies. And while he's dying, his disciples are at his feet watching this all happen. His mother's there watching him die. His closest compatriots are watching him die. But where's Peter? Peter is nowhere to be found. Crushed by his shame. Crushed by his denial. Crushed by doing something he never thought he could ever do. Ashamed. And I just, you know, I want to stop right there because, you know, that happens to all of us. I mean, it's somewhere in our time, but, and most of us would say, wow, that's not something I would ever do. I'd never deny my best friend. I would never deny the person I love that much. I would never deny Jesus or insert name here. I would never say that I didn't know them. I would be bold and strong and I would stand up and I would fight. But here's the thing. When push comes to shove, and the danger comes in, and the fear sets in that you might also die, or be stuck in with someone, or maybe your reputation will be harmed because you'll be labeled alongside someone. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. And stuff like that happens all the time. Maybe it's happened to you, but The truth of the matter, Peter's story, luckily, does not end here. It doesn't end here. And that's the beauty of this story. Peter's story does not end here. Now, later, Jesus, you know, as the story goes, is resurrected from the dead. And where do you find Peter? Peter's fishing. I suppose when all's said and done and, you know, the whole, everything's over and the guy you're following dies, you go back to what you knew, go back to what you were doing before. So we find Peter fishing again, right? He's fishing again. And someone calls out to them in the darkness on the shoreline and says, how was your night fishing? And they shout back, we haven't caught a thing. It's terrible. And he says, why don't you cast your net on the other side? And they knew it was Jesus. They knew it was him. So they cast the net on the other side of the boat, and guess what? Repeat of the beginning of the story. Peter jumps out of the boat and runs to Jesus, and Jesus restores him and forgives him. And they have this conversation about what's getting ready to happen. And Peter, after asking for forgiveness and receiving it and being restored in his relationship with Jesus, where do we find him? Months later. We're not even talking a year. We're talking just a few months later. What's Peter doing? Peter's changing the lives of other people. Now, you know, some of us would say, well, Brandon, you're going down the evangelical route here. You're going down the route of the church and religion and spirituality, and which is all well and fine. It's true. This is a message of the Spirit. But I want to talk about something practical that actually helped Peter here and that you and I can actually use in our lives. How is Peter able to move forward from something, I would say, that upsetting, something that life-ending, something that spiritually breaking? How does he recover? And the answer, friends, is forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's a powerful tool. It can heal you. It can restore you. most of us, we don't really think about that, but luckily for Peter, that wasn't the end. And when we, you know, when we screw up and when we do something wrong, and or when we have friends who do something wrong to us, you know, it's hard for us to think about, you know, how much have I wrecked my life, or how much has this person wrecked their life, or how much has this person wrecked my life? You know, all those things, you know, combined, I suppose, when you talk about this, when you talk about wronging someone, when you talk about hurting someone, when you talk about denying someone, when you talk about doing anything that might harm another person and you're ashamed of it and it eats you alive, the healing aspect of forgiveness. Sometimes we have to be bold enough to ask for forgiveness, because truly, you know, someone's not going to forgive us unless we go and ask, and that relationship becomes restored and you can move forward. In this case, we were watching Peter and Jesus, and Jesus knew that Peter wasn't done yet and that he needed forgiveness, and he needed in order to move forward. And he knew that Peter had more inside of him. My thoughts are, forgive people. That's how Peter moved forward. He was forgiven. Remember that the next time you stay angry at someone, the next time someone hurts you, find a way, especially if they ask for it, to forgive them. Remember that you are just like Peter, capable of amazing things, but just like him, but just like he is, you're capable of bad things as well. Don't be too proud to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness restores your most valuable asset, your relationships. And you'll hear me over and over again in this podcast. If you listen long enough, you're going to hear me say this over and over again. Your most valuable asset are your relationships. The people you know, the people you're closest to, all those people, the people you are closest to, they are your most valuable asset. But forgiveness is a hard lesson to learn. And don't mistake me. Don't misunderstand me. You know, there are people that you need to forgive, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be there in your face, that you forgive them. You say, I forgive you for this. Sometimes situations are dangerous. Sometimes there's people you don't need to be around, but that doesn't mean you can't forgive them. You don't have to call them up and say you're forgiven. But it's somewhere inside of you, inside your soul, you can still forgive someone. And then you can move forward. Because if you don't forgive people, that's the other thing, is maybe you don't need forgiveness. Maybe you need to forgive someone else. And you can't move forward until you forgive them. That doesn't mean you have to let them back into your life or bring them close to you. But what that does is it allows you to move forward. Forgiveness is such a practical tool. I mean, if you're capable, willing, and able of asking forgiveness, you know, there are people in your life, even right now, that maybe you've wronged, that you wish that relationship were restored, that you wish that you could fix, that you wish you were still friends with, that you know, maybe family members that you wish you were still close to. Go and ask for forgiveness. Go and say, hey, you remember that one time we had that fight about that one thing? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I can tell you that in my life, almost 100% of the time, not always 100, maybe not every single time, but 99.999% of the time, if I go and I say, look, I was wrong, please forgive me, those people will forgive you. Always. Most of the time, without a doubt. Most of the time, without even thinking about it, they'll forgive you. The problem is, when you go and ask someone for forgiveness, specifically like that, you say, please forgive me, the onus is now on them. And if they choose not to forgive you, you're still free because you did your part. You understand? That means you're free because you did your part. Now they're holding on to something and you've let it go. You've recognized you're wrong. You've gone to them. You've tried to make it right. And they still want to hold on to it. That's their thing. You let them do it. But now that you've done asked for the forgiveness, it's not your thing anymore. You've let it go. And I think a lot of people like to hold on to things. I don't know why necessarily, but it's really hard sometimes to just go in and just give something up like that. It's really hard to be that humble to go forward and say, I did this wrong. Please forgive me. That's a really hard practice to learn. But when you learn it, it allows you to have deeper relationships. It allows you closer to people. It allows you to move forward in your life. And it allows you to do things you never thought were possible. Look at Peter. Peter was done. He was done. He had denied Jesus. It was over and he was done. Basically, an ashamed mess, hiding in the shadows. But when Jesus returned and forgave him, a few months later, we find Peter saving people. We find Peter saving people from their mess. God's using him to do great things, and he can do the same for you. He can do the same for you. But Peter, he even moved on to greater things. He basically built the foundations of the Christian church. One of the biggest people in maybe all of history, worth taking a look at, worth learning about. But his story starts with forgiveness. And I just want to leave you with that. His story starts with forgiveness. Now that I've gone through all of the heavy stuff, I appreciate you guys listening to my podcast. I appreciate it every single time you listen to it. There aren't many of you yet, and I hope eventually we'll build a good listenership. But I want you to know that if you're listening to this, you are appreciated, and thank you so much for listening. I want to give a little shout out to my friends who are in the podcast community. I just thank you so much for your encouragement, for your kindness, for listening to my podcast, even though I ramble a lot. Thank you for your encouragement and for pushing me forward. I wish you guys all the best, and we will catch you on the flippity flop. The Finding Your Way podcast is an Unfiltered Studios production. If you have any other questions, concerns, needs, or you just want to find some other cool podcasts, please go to unfpod.com. Have a great day.